You have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. We're going to talk about a question of love this morning. And so it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. A question of love. During the Second World War, Dwight David Eisenhower corrected another general as he referred to a soldier as just a private. He reminded him that the army could function a whole lot better without their generals than they could their privates, the foot soldiers. He said, if the war is won, it will be won by the privates. In the same way, the everyday Christian is the backbone of this church, any church. We have famous evangelists, we have dynamic pastors, but shepherds don't reproduce sheep. Sheep do. And if the gospel is to reach the lost and dying world, then for the most part, it will be the everyday, ordinary Christian that will take the gospel to them. Now, if you are a believer, the Bible teaches us that we are a servant of God. If we are a believer, we are a servant. You may not know it. You may not always act like it. You may not always live like you are a servant of the Lord. But Jesus has called every one of us to a life of service this morning. So where do I begin this morning? If I'm going to answer this question, where do we begin? Well, John 21, verses 15 through 17 answers that question. It reveals that one crucial ingredient that Christ requires of all of his servants. He lists out, first of all, the condition for service. And three times Jesus commissioned Peter to service. But first he asked him the question, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? More than anything else, Christ wanted love from Peter. Without that, he would have been unfit for service. Still today, before we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us we must love him. We're to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Perhaps Jesus was saying, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? Am I more dear to you than your closest friend or family? I can remember times when people have chided the Lord when someone was prematurely taken from life. It just reveals that we think more of individuals, people, than we do of him. We're to love him first. We're to never question the fact of that which happens to us. I know we're all human, but brethren, God is in charge and he makes no mistakes, and this whole world functions. And because of sin, a lot of bad things happen in the world, but God cannot be tempted with sin. Or maybe, do you love me more than these fishing boats
and the nets. Peter, do you love me more than that former life that you used to live as a fisherman? And we see in contrast here that Peter looks from the boat. He's out in the Sea of Galilee. He looks out and he sees that Jesus is on the shore and he's cooking breakfast. And so he jumps out of the boat. He's impetuous. He jumps out of the boat. He begins to make his way towards the shore. And Jesus asked him, "Are you truly devoted to me or to your work? Or was your so-called demonstration of love just merely an act and not the real thing?" To us, Jesus might say, is your attendance in church a genuine mark of your love and your worship for God? Or is your mind even on the service? I'm going to tell you, you know, when you sit up here as a pastor, you look out and you ought to come up here sometimes. You look out and you see folks looking at you, but they've got that glazed look in their eye. And you know that maybe their mind is somewhere else on the job, what they're going to do Monday, maybe that fishing, that hunting trip, maybe the ball game that was played last night, you know, Boomer Sooner. Y'all don't tell Sharon I said that. But you know, a lot of times you can come to church and your mind is on everything else but what you ought to have it on. Amen. You see, we're to come here and we're to love him. And sometimes our devotion to these other things betray a lack of love for him. Maybe the words mean, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Peter, don't you remember that you made that brag the night of my arrest, that even though everybody else would betray me, you said, I'll stand, I'll not betray you. You can depend on me, Lord. And he denied him three times. Peter replied, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, in the original Greek, Peter changed the term that Jesus used. He used that word for love, agape, which is the purest and the highest form of love. And Peter answered, Lord, I love you. But he changed the wording to phileo, another Greek word for love, which just meant a friendship. He said, Lord, I love you as a friend. I don't love you with all my heart. Don't love you with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I love you as a friend. Well, when we evaluate love, we need to follow Peter's example, and we don't need to be rash in what we commit to the Lord. You know, sometimes we make vows and commitments to God that we really don't think out. We need to be careful what we say that we're going to do for the Lord, because if we say it, I believe God expects us to do it. And if we say it, then we ought to be faithful to keep our commitments to the Lord. But Peter made some mistakes sometimes of being rash. And he was impetuous and he would say things, Lord, you can depend on me. But we know that didn't work out quite like he said. He could have said, Lord, look over here at John. Look over here at one of the other disciples. Lord, they've done this and they've done that. I'm better than they are. That self-righteous attitude could have cropped up. He could have been like the Pharisee and the publican that went into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee looked over at that publican over there and said, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm not as other men are. And he began to lay out all of his accolades. But the publican smote himself on his chest, and he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He questioned Peter's love. He used the word for that holy love, that agape love again. And Peter answered by saying, Lord, I'm your friend. Now, perhaps Jesus' threefold question implies that love for Christ is the first, it's the second, and it's the third condition for our service to the Lord. More than anything else, Jesus wants to know that we love him. The second most important concern is, do we love him? And the third most important matter to him is, do we love him? It all boils down to love, doesn't it? You know, this young man went to Peter Marshall, his pastor, and asked him, said, Pastor, how do you know when you're in love with somebody? He said, son, you'll know. You'll know. Dennis, did you know when you looked at that young lady, did your heart flutter? You better answer right, too. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Oh, Dennis, you're smooth, boy. But, you know, you can tell when a young man, you know, for a little while he's 10, 11, 12, 13 maybe, he doesn't like girls. Then all of a sudden you look and you see him start to fix his hair. He dresses up nice and neat, you know. And he takes his comb to school with him. You know that love has set in. Christ wants to know that we love him, doesn't he? He just wants to know, do you love me? Isn't it significant that Jesus did not say, Peter, will you serve me? You see, willingness is not the requirement for service, but love for Christ is. Jesus did not ask Peter, are you sorry that you denied me? There was no rebuke from the master. There was no rubbing of salt into the wound. He did not say, Peter, do you love my word? Or Peter, do you love my church? He didn't say any of that because he knew that if you love him, all of this other would fall into place. If you love him, you'll love the church. If you love him, you'll love the word of God. You'll study it to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. I'm sure that Jesus did not enjoy grieving Peter, but even if it meant pain for him, the master had to know the answer. And I think more than the master knowing the answer, because he's omniscient, he already knew. He wanted Peter to know the answer. He wanted Peter to understand where his love factor was. He said, Lord, I love you as a friend. But Jesus said, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. In the first two questions, Jesus used the term agape love, suggesting pure and holy love. Peter responded with phileo, which meant friendship kind of love. But on the third inquiry, Jesus borrowed Peter's term. And he reminded him of the fact, do you love me? Or the wording was, Peter, are you really my friend? He said, Lord, I'm your friend. But he questioned that. He said, Peter, are you really my friend? And, you know, I believe the Lord has a right to know if we're really his friend. If we're really on the firing line, we're out of the trenches and we're serving him because we love him. I think that he wants to know, but he does know. He wants you to know where you stand. You know, God knows everything. But he wants you to understand exactly where you stand this morning. Are you certain of your love for Christ? You may answer, Lord, you know that I love you. Don't my good works prove it? I'm going to tell you, no, they don't. No, they don't. Christ is not asking about your conduct, but he is inquiring about the condition of your heart. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can be a leader in the church. You can be this or that. You can be a pastor or a preacher, whatever. But you need to regularly ask yourself the question, do I love him like I ought to love him? You see, you can go through the motions. And we can come up here and we can do everything we do without any love because we're used to doing it. But God knows our heart, and he understands where we are spiritually and where our heart is at, and he wants us to love him with all of our heart. Then the commission to service. Just as Jesus' question and Peter's answers were voiced three times, Jesus also commissioned Peter three times. The first is found at the end of verse 15. He said unto him, tend my lambs. Now here again, the master did not ask, do you love lambs? The lamb represents young Christians that are immature and weak in the faith, those individuals that maybe have not been saved long. The lamb represents that young, immature Christian. And even, he says, is some of them kind of rub you the wrong way. And sometimes those that are immature in the faith, they're not always the easiest to get along with. But our impetus for continued service must not be their lovableness, but his, because we love him and because he loves us. When we serve them, we serve him. How important it is that we do that. A good reminder to us servants that we are to study to show ourselves approved. And Peter wrote, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, I think all of you know that we live during a time when not every church preaches the whole counsel of God. Sometimes we entertain the lambs. Sometimes they are, well, they have their ears tickled. And sometimes those that are leaders in the church and pastors, those that are supposedly shepherds, allow the lambs to graze wherever they want and to eat any blade of false doctrine that they want to eat. Jesus told us that we are to shepherd his sheep. Now the lambs have grown into sheep, and the discipleship process shows that we're to help those that are lambs, that are immature in the faith, to grow, to become mature saints of God. And that's what a shepherd does. And it's not just the pastor that's the shepherd, but all of us as Christians have a responsibility one to another. How important it is that when you come into the house of God, that you can feel love not only for him, but love for one another. And we care about the growth of one another, and we want to do everything that we can to get us all together and make heaven our home together. How important that is. Sheep are prone sometimes to wander and therefore need constant guidance. Jesus said in Matthew 9, chapter 36, he said that he was looking out over the fields, and he said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And he looked out and he saw that there were sheep out there, but there was no shepherd. Jesus is concerned about the souls of men. Who does he use to reach them? He uses people like you and me. Now, the beautiful thing about this commission is that Jesus invites us to share in his own great work. He called himself the Good Shepherd. Peter later called him the chief shepherd. And you remember when God called Moses in order to come and lead the children of Israel out of bondage to the promised land, the Bible said that he first allowed him to go over on the backside of the desert, and he worked for 40 long years as a shepherd. And then the greatest king of Israel was David, and he was chosen to be king while he was still a shepherd tending sheep. Well, all of us have that responsibility to tend to the sheep. And at the end of John 21, verse 17, it gives us the third and the final part of the commission. Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Christ will trust us with this ministry of tending and feeding his sheep. If we love him, he will give us that ministry. Now, we feel sometimes overcome with awe that Christ would call us for this great ministry. And even if we cannot profess to have the greatest love for him that he wants, that agape love, we, like Peter, I believe the Lord will use us right where we are, and he will help us to grow from that phileo type of love to that agape love. He'll help us to be what he wants us to be, and we'll draw closer to him. He told Peter in the next verse, verse 18, he told Peter, he said, "Now, Peter, I know you have a friendship love now, but I also know that you're going to develop that love and you're going to have a mature love and a agape type of love, and you're going to prove it by the fact that you're going to go and you're going to go where you don't want to go. They're going to take you, and you're not going to be in charge of your life." And he was talking about the fact that he was going to die a martyr's death. We understand that Peter, according to tradition, was crucified upside down because he did not want to be crucified like his Lord. He didn't feel that he was worthy. And he loved him enough that he was willing to lay his life on the line and say, "Lord, I love you with all my heart." How he developed and how he grew. But it wasn't always that way. And you may not be where you want to be, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You are to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge and in love of Jesus Christ. Well, a lot of people have a desire to want to know Jesus and to know when he's going to come back again. And I think all of us here today know that his coming is not going to be long. And I know that nobody knows the time or the hour when he's going to return, but we can see the signs. And the signs all indicate that his coming is soon and very soon. And so we need to be ready to meet him. The best way that I know to tell you to be ready to meet him is to love him and love him and love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. If you love him, you will serve him. If you love him, you'll do his bidding. If you love him, you will be faithful to do what he commands you to do. God help us that we might love him. But if you cannot honestly say that you love Jesus this morning like he wants you to love him, that maybe you don't even love him as a friend, then let me suggest to you what you need to do is go back to Calvary. Go back and see him hanging there on the tree, dying for the sins of the world. But more than that, he died for your sins and mine. He took our place on Calvary's cross. He shed his lifeblood. But you know what? The greatest punishment that he received on the cross that day was the fact that he took your sins and mine in his body on the tree, and he died for your sins and for my sins. And the thing that just amazes me is the fact that Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God commendeth," or he proved his love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That verse simply says that if you Are you? If you were the only person on the face of the earth, he loved you so much that he would have sent his son to die just for you, just for me. I'm so flabbergasted by that kind of love. I don't comprehend it, don't understand it, but thank God I love and appreciate the fact of his love for me. But I believe that when you go to Calvary and you see that afresh and anew, I believe that you will come back from Calvary, and I believe on bended knees you'll be able to say as never before, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart, and you know I love you. I love you. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him? Let's bow for prayer.